Blog Talk Radio.
Elaborate time. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Backyard Labrish. I'm your host, Margaret Marshall, and I want to welcome you this evening as we continue discovering Jamaica one parish at a time. And for our listeners that have been with us for a while, you know we have toured Kingston, then we toured Montego Bay, and then we did Portland, and then today we're doing St. Mary. And I want to welcome all our listeners online and remind you again that you're listening to Backyard Labrish, and we're here each Wednesday at 8 o'clock as we reminisce, discover things about our beautiful island of Jamaica, and talk a little bit about the history and how we got to be who we are now that we're independent. And sometimes we labrish about things that are not very familiar to a lot of people. So, and this is what we're doing for the next couple of weeks, because, as I mentioned before, most Jamaicans that I know mostly live in one parish and visit one or two, except the vacation spots that they might go, they may go. But most people don't know everything about, or a lot of things about, all of the parishes. So I thought it would be very interesting to discover the parish, discover things about them that perhaps we didn't know, because every parish has its own flavor, and I am just so tickled at all the information that I'm digging up about the different parishes. So this week we are doing St. Mary, and I hope there'll be some St. Mary folks joining us to fill in the gaps of some things that might be important to them that they may want the world to know, and especially other people from their country that have been living abroad like myself for a long time. And if we even knew some things, you know, a lot of times we forget. So welcome to the backyard. I hope you will become comfortable in your easy chair as you relax. For those of you listening online, you know you could, if you're working on the computer, you can just have the show in the background. For if you want to call us in, you will have to call, dial in our number. And for those listening online, I see we have some listeners online. Whenever you want to interact with us, make a comment or ask a question, you need to hit 1 on your telephone. Then I will see a raised hand on my keyboard, and I will open up the mic to you. So we're going to start a little bit with a little history about the geography of St. Mary. Well, St. Mary happens to be one of the smaller parishes in Jamaica. It is located in the northeast sector of section of Jamaica. It is one of Jamaica's smallest parishes, and it's in the county of Middlesex. If, for those of you who joined us in the beginning of the tour, you know we have three different counties. Now, the chief town and the capital of St. Mary is Port Maria, M-A-R-I-A, and it's on the coast. It is also the birthplace of established dance hall reggae artists. I didn't know that because I left Jamaica before dance hall became one of the featured things that they do. You know, I go all the way back to Mento, and now I left, I think, when Calypso was hot. I am quite familiar with the reggae, and there was other things in between there, but now I understand that the dance that they're doing now, or they have made famous, is called dance hall reggae or whatever. But it says here in my documentation that it's the birthplace of established dance hall reggae artists. Now, besides that, oh, my board is lighting up. I'd like to welcome our Skype listener. I know your Skype because of your what the numbers I see. And for you, if you want to interact with us, you just hit 1 on your keypad. I want to welcome 646 and 631 area codes, and thank you for joining us. And I hope somebody out there is from St. Mary, because as they say in Jamaica, I was born under the clock and in Kingston. And the only place I know a lot about, we're not going to do for a little while, because I'm sort of connecting the parishes as I go along. And I started in Kingston, then I went to St. Thomas, then I went to Portland, and now we are in St. Mary. Now, my documentation says that there are few traces of Arawak presence in that particular parish. I suppose in art or something else. I don't know if actually in people. It said since St. Mary was also one of the first sections of the island to be occupied by the Spaniards. And Puerto Santa Maria later became Port Maria. And it was the second town of the Spaniards that the Spaniards built on the island in 1655. Now, after the English captured the country, then it was changed. The name was changed to Port Maria. And I'm not sure if I'm saying it right. Is it Maria or Maria? Port Maria. I think it's Port Maria I remember it as. You know, I must remind our listeners that I'm a senior citizen, senior's senior, I call myself, and that I migrated from Jamaica before they became independent. I came to the United States in 1959, and I am discovering so much about my country now that I'm retired and have more time to really think back, go back to my childhood, remember the wonderful times I had growing up there, and to discover some new information that I might have missed while I was there. So if any of my listeners can correct me on any pronunciations or any information, you're more than welcome, because this is a labrish, and that's what labrishing is all about. this platform is really, we're not discussing any particular point of view. We're just talking about facts, what happened, and I invite especially the more mature listeners to come with us and share their stories, not just on the radio, but also at our website, which is www.backyardlabbridge.com. There you can join the community of like-minded people and set up a profile so you can write your stories, do a blog, or do whatever they do on Facebook. So it will be our backyard Facebook, our backyard book, to make it even simpler. So although we have a saying in Jamaica that you little but you talawa, so I never knew what that talawa word meant, but I think it means big or large, huge, because later on we're going to be talking about how St. Mary's High School is considered a very excellent school. But now I want to tell you a little bit about the island. That particular parish. And what started there, beside the dance hall reggae, which is something recent, it also was the first place that saw some strong resistance to slavery in that parish. And that started in 1867. I'm sorry, 1760. Now, I had never heard of Tacky's Rebellion. I don't know if any of my other listeners have, but I think I'm more interested in history now that I've matured than I was when I was younger and perhaps in school, because I just have a passion for history now. And we talked about the Maroons in some other shows, but I did not really know that the strongest resistance really started in that particular parish, the parish of St. Mary. And Tacky, T-A-C-K-Y is the name, is how his name is spelled, was a slave, and he was from a particular tribe. As a matter of fact, there's a little history on where his tribe came from, and let me read that to you. He was a Coromantee, C-O-R-O-M-A-N-T-E-E, chief, and he was from Guinea, west coast of Africa, as were many of the slaves sold to plantations in St. Mary. Now, I think we have to remember that in those days, although the island was small, you know, if a ship came in at one way, the possibility is that, you know, it seemed a long way to the other side where we have an ocean. So there was not a lot of communication going on or transportation. The place was, there were no roads, I suppose. But most of the slaves that were came to St. Mary was from the west coast of Africa. And that particular person, Tacky, as he was his name, he was a chief in Africa before he became, you know, he was captured. So I am thinking that he was perhaps a very smart person, and he was a good planner and a good leader. So he was able to, you know, organize this rebellion that was really early in all of the wars that they had with slavery. So he is also, he played a very important part, even though he was not successful. But this was his plan. He actually was quite effective because he was, you know, he had leadership abilities and qualities, I suppose. And also, there were several other slaves that spoke his language and was from the same area or tribe that he was from. You know, here again, you know, there's always, when people of like minds or like language are together, you can always do better, you know. So I am taking all the personal lessons, even though it's way back in the past, there's so much lessons we can learn from history, because, you know, as human beings, we're so much alike in the way we think and behave and operate. Anyway, back to his plan. Now, excuse me. I'm just wondering if my loyal listener from the Bronx is on. Would you raise your hands so I can see where you are, please? Anyway, back to Mr. Tacky. Now, what he planned to have his voice heard on, it was going to be Easter in that year, 1760. Sometime before daybreak on Monday, Tacky and his followers began to revolt and easily took over the Trinity Plantation, of course, killing their masters. And they decided that they would put some storeroom or something on fire. You know, although the plan was well thought out in his mind, he didn't know what he was up against, I suppose. But the important thing is that somebody has to start something. You know, you can't be all sitting around complaining. Whatever you're displeased about, some person has to start it. A lot of times, that's not the person that completes it. But my lesson here is, you know, you got to have a leader and you've got to start. Okay, I see that 646479 would like to be plugged in. Good evening. Hello. Who am I speaking with? Hello?
You're speaking with Lay, the guy from the Bronx.
Okay,
the home of
the
Yankees.
Thank
Yankees.
You very much. Okay. Well, I know Mr. Lay is a loyal listener and supporter from the Bronx, and I also know that he's a history buff. Am I correct, sir?
Yes, ma'am.
All right.
I heard you talking about my buddy, Tacky.
Oh, you are familiar with his story.
I did start the Easter Rebellion.
Okay. Now, I am gathering that this was after the Maroons, right?
Oh, yes, after the Maroons, but before the English actually freed the slaves. So he was a little bit ahead of his time.
Yes.
And the Maroons sort of were spies who assisted the English in finding guys like Tacky and that other one in Portland there.
Right.
And it was tough going for these fellas, because the next thing you know, they lost their heads, literally.
Right. As a matter of fact, he was taken down by one of the Maroons.
Yeah.
You know, that they it's a Maroon that actually killed him while he was running. But to go back to the story, you know, he was able to, I'm just connecting the dots here, because, you know, when I think about or read about the history of the slaves here in America, I think one of the handicaps that they had is that because America is so big and they were so mixed up, you know, they were going all over the place. There were not any one plantation where several of them spoke the same language.
Right.
In this case, especially in Jamaica and several of the other islands, it was different because there were several of them from the same area, or in this case, the same tribe. So communication was not as difficult. And I suppose trust and just understanding. Like I think a lot of people feel that, you know, if you're in a community of like minds, people know what your culture is. They know what to, you know, what certain things you do mean or say mean. It makes it a little smoother than when you're a total stranger speaking a different language. Do you agree?
Oh, yeah.
So I think that, you know, he sort of had a head start, even though it seemed like
because,
it didn't get him very far, but at least he had things started.
After they got rid of him, as an upstart 10 years later, we're talking about like 1760, let's say 1770, somebody else started another rebellion, and they quashed it even more quickly.
Right.
So the slaves were not about to give up, and they continued, of course, until the 80s, when 1800s, when slavery was abolished. But
right.
In the meantime, St. Mary, as you pointed out before, was very important even during the time of the Spanish, because it had the port at Maria.
Maria, it's called?
Well, Jamaicans in their way of speaking will say Mariah, but it's Maria.
Oh. Okay.
Because it's actually a translation. After the English took it over, it was before that it was Santa Maria.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mentioned that.
And then it became Saint Mary when the English took it over.
Right,
of course,
right.
That's the literal translation.
Uh huh.
And Port Maria was the capital as well as the seaport. And you know the kind of produce that trade from not only St. Mary, but let's say Jamaica, funneled through to Port Maria to be transported by boat.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Port Maria was also the railways reached as far as Port Maria as well. So the other things like agricultural products, which St. Mary's one of those places where if you drop a seed on the soil, it grows.
Right. Well, you know, it's interesting because it's considered one of the poorest. It's considered among the poorest parishes.
Well, only because Jamaica migrated, especially after independence, from being an agricultural society that chopped down all the trees and stopped growing things, and tried to move towards what Kingston was doing as a city metropolis, and so agricultural products became neglected, and that really was the lifeline of people in St. Mary.
Right.
I know this because I used to go to St. Mary as a child during summer holidays.
Yeah.
And my grandmother's relatives had properties there, and the properties that the peasant farmers had in Port Maria were like models of what could be grown on a small property. And believe me, everything you want to plant in certain areas, you could plant it. Even on these hillsides, you'd be surprised that you have banana, you may have a coconut tree, a mixture of cocoa, coffee, and on the flatter areas, you would have citrus.
Right.
So,
well, I have a list here of what they say they produce, what it can produce. Banana, sugar, citrus, pimento, cocoa, polka dots, coffee, vegetables, bread, and breadfruit.
Yeah, so that's everything. Yeah.
Right.
And so in those days, in the older days, they weren't all that poor because it was one of the places where, as I say, the peasant farmers had their own little plot that grew everything, and they could market these products.
Right. Well, I want to tell you a little bit about the what they say about the climate and the soil. It's interesting. The climate is varied, like most parishes on the island. The eastern section of the parish has shale rock, S-H-A-L-E rock, and an intricate surface draining system, while the western section is limestone, with predominantly underground rivers. That's interesting because one side of the parish has one kind of soil and the other side have a totally different kind of soil. I found that very interesting.
Well, if you know the terrain, that holds true because it's very hilly, in some sections it goes even up to 4,000 feet.
4,000, yes.
So,
but there are no distinctive mountain ranges. It's just
right.
the hills, as you say.
Yeah, and as you come closer toward, in the northern sections, toward the sea, it sort of levels off a bit, but in other words, as you alluded to before, there weren't any great roads there because of this type of soil that you encountered.
Right.
They call it the Richmond Shale and Belfield Clay. Now, I know the area in Richmond and Belfield because my great-grand-aunt lived there and had property there. So this is, by the way, an enclave of Indians, East Indians, that I suppose when they were added to the the slave trade, and they migrated to certain areas. This was one of the areas. When I would go there to visit my great-grand-aunt.
What year are we talking about now?
When I visited, maybe in the 40s.
In the 40s, okay.
Yeah, in the 40s.
Right.
And even now, the Indians are predominant in that area.
Are you talking the Indians from India?
Yeah.
Okay, I got you. I mean Jamaican Indians then.
Well, I would, if you want to call them Jamaican Indians, but they're originally, we call them East Indians.
Right. They're Jamaican born, but perhaps they're descendants.
Well, at this particular time, you would come up on people that were actually first generation and second generation.
Oh,
yeah,
I got
you. Yeah, so by this time now you're talking about a Jamaican Indian, of course.
Right, okay,
right.
You're talking about in the 40s. Now, there are three main rivers in St. Mary. Are you familiar with them?
Yeah. There is the Rio Nuevo and the White River. Of course, American tourists will know about the White River because they have rafting on the White River as well.
Right.
And the Wagwater River. That's the most important one of all of them. Because some of them, as you said, run underground because of the nature of the soil.
Right.
Yeah.
In fact,
I used to go up to Highgate, which was one of the wealthier areas, in so far as it was developed, probably more advanced than a lot of the country towns.
Mm-hmm.
And I get, on my relatives' properties, there was a little rivulet, a tributary that ran through the property.
Mm-hmm.
And as a little boy, and I don't have any playmates, I would sneak away and go down to this river that ran through the property and just sit there, I'm just thinking about it now. It was a really marvelous thing to do. I mean, I'm playing cowboy and robbers by myself.
Mm-hmm.
And going down to the property, it was kind of steep getting down to that part where the river ran,
mm-hmm.
and on a rainy day you could have a nice slide down to the
mm-hmm.
river.
Yeah,
but,
I see how in those days kids, used to take a lot more chances, I suppose, than they do now.
Yeah.
But I find that interesting.
Another thing that was that I remember to this day is that across the street from where I stayed, was a huge bakery that supplied the whole area, including up all the way up to Port Maria.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, the main courts and the municipal buildings were in Port Maria. And you would think it might have been in Highgate because Highgate was so advanced. But Highgate was more residential. But anyway, getting back to this bakery, at around 2 a.m. in the morning when they were producing the bread, the odor, the smell of the bread would wake me up, you know. And
this
day, if I go by in New York here, we have, what is the name of that bakery? But anyway, as you go into Long Island, you would pass this bakery. I mean, it aroused memories of this.
That's what we're going to talk about now.
Yes.
Memories. You see how just the aroma, just passing.
Yeah, the aroma of that.
Back to Highgate.
Yes.
Isn't that something?
Yes. So I have very happy memories from St. Mary's and visiting my folks down in Richmond.
So what were your folks' names, their surnames?
Well, Aunt Helen's surname was Phelps, P-H-E-L-P-S. And she had relatives, and she had a couple of boarders. One of them was Joe Guy, and the other one was Willie Persad. I'm testing my memory for all. Yeah, and those are good Indian names, you know.
Well, you know, I have the towns here as Highgate, Arakabessa, Richmond, and Anatobay.
Yeah, Anatobay. Now, Arakabessa was one of the places that the train stopped. So there was a big market in that area where people would bring their produce, and the train would pick it up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another thing I remember as a child. I was able to stay on my folks' property and look at the train entering into Port Antonio. I till this day I'm a train watcher. It was from those days when I could and the train, you could hear it, like in the early morning, in the distance, you hear the puffing and the shunting of the train. Of course, in those days it was run by coal, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh.
So it was a good
great childhood memory.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Very good. Well, back to Mr. Tacky. I've read on some of my notes that it's funny that you mentioned he was chased by the Maroons and their legendary marksman, Davy, was his name.
Oh.
While Tacky was running, he cut it full speed. He was going full speed. Davy shot him. And, of course, after that, he took off his head. But my point is, you know, even then they had such marksmen and who was, of course, an African, and he could cut down this other man running full speed. So I pick little things out of all of this history that just seemed to intrigue me.
Well, yeah, in these days that we're talking, this is 16th, 17th century things, and it was colorful stuff. We're talking about pirates in Port Royal, and we're talking about expeditionary ships going into Port Maria, and, I mean, this is all,
to me, even traveling on a ship from one island to the next in those days, I mean, you can imagine the ships didn't go as fast as they go now.
I wonder how people tolerated
all of that.
The ships were propelled by sail, you know.
Right. And not only that, in that times, for a man to be able to use a gun, you know, and hit a moving target going at full speed, you know that for him to be such a marksman, you get my point?
Yeah.
It's just almost unreal. And remember now that I suppose these guys were not running on a flat. It's not like they were on a flat course. You know, this place is full of rocks. So it didn't say if it's just one bullet he used, but I said, wow.
Well, you don't really want to go there.
Right. No,
the guy's a marksman, and he got him where you want him. Even if he wounded him, that was good enough.
Yeah, because they didn't really say anything. But then the rest of Tacky's followers, you know, he didn't want to go back into slavery, so they went to a cave. And there, that cave is supposed to be still standing. Nobody knows exactly where it is. But, you know, they know it is sort of have an idea of the location. And there is some place called Tacky's Falls. Did you know that? Where there's a waterfall?
No, I don't know.
Right. So that is apparently still there, according to this information that I have downloaded. And as I want to remind our listeners that you're listening to Backyard Labrish. We're here every Wednesday at 8 o'clock. It's Backyard Labrish is dedicated to celebrating the Jamaican culture. And for the next few weeks, we're doing a tour of the island of Jamaica, one parish at a time. And this particular week, we are celebrating St. Mary, even though it's a very tiny parish, and it's billed in the current information as one of the smallest and poorest of that of the 14. But there's still, even though it's small, there's still interesting things to find out about it. So if any of our listeners are from St. Mary and would like to add to the Labrish, please hit 1 on your keyboard. And for those people listening online, I want to welcome you and to apologize for not being able to interact with you yet. I'm not that techie that I can talk on the phone and welcome my callers online and do my thing on the internet too. But, you know, I hope you're comfortable in the backyard, even though you're on your computer. So, and do send us an email or ask us a question or go to our website and let us know if you are enjoying our Labrish. So, back to us, Lay, now what we're talking about.
Well,
now, did you know about the different dances that are still alive and well in the in St. Mary?
No, I didn't go to that extent.
Okay, well, I suppose you were too young to be involved in the dancing. But because I suppose there was such a authentic, rich African, and it's making sense to me. Let me tell you where I'm going with this. You know, the dance hall music, I understand. I don't see much of it, but I understand it's very sensuous and sexual and, you know, some people would regard it as being almost vulgar. I'm not familiar with it, so I'm just going by what I see on the internet or what I am reading. However, I found something very interesting I found it interesting that it originated there, because do you know that they are my research says that is where most of the dances started, from the Mento, which, you know, goes way back. And they talk about a dance that's called Dinky Mini. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
D-I-N-K-I-M-I-N-I. I never heard of
that. I've seen it in print, but I never really worried too much about Dinky.
Yeah, I never heard of it before. I don't know if our listeners are familiar with it. But that's something that I learned. I didn't know, I didn't have a clue what a dinky mini dance is. But apparently it goes back to the African tradition.
Yeah, there are a lot of dance groups that do traditional African dances in Jamaica even now. And in fact, there are some in Brooklyn. I saw a group about 3-4 weeks ago that did about three different variations of variation of dances.
Well, do you know if any of them was the Dinky Mini?
And it's just arousing my curiosity now. It's possible that some of these dances that they did derived from some of those, because these were Jamaican and West Indian people doing the dances.
Right.
So that's interesting. Reading
about, you know, some of the traditional dances that are apparently still alive and well there, and hearing that the dance hall thing started there, I read about the description of a dance where they would, like, have a male person would be sort of the leader, and he would, this is from the African tribe, some tribe of people that were there, and he would come out and do a dance that will be simulating sex, actually. And then he would choose a woman, and then she would come into the ring, and then she would go choose another man. But I think they say all the dancers would touch the ground. In other words, like you're getting grounded or whatever. But it just seemed interesting to me that, you know, they describe that kind of dance from the real African culture, and that this new dance hall dance would be in some way similar, and it started there.
Mm-hmm.
I found that very interesting, because I suppose because the rest of the different parts of the country were perhaps not that deeply exposed to that, the origin of this African dance, then it even seems more out of place to them. But to the people who started it, it might not have been would not be considered vulgar. You understand what I mean? They were more comfortable with it because it's something they had seen done, passed down from different cultures, from different generations.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Makes sense.
You know, so they were more comfortable with moving their bodies like that or whatever it was. I've never seen it, so I don't really know. But I from reading, I think that they say it sometimes simulates, you know, sex. So when I saw this and read that a lot of these African dances started there in St. Mary, and they even tell the different districts that there were more likely to see that, and some of the traditional African dances are still being done in different districts there in St. Mary.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really just very interesting to me. And again, I want to invite our listeners online to let us know if they want to join this labyrinth, because I'm not from St. Mary. Luckily, my loyal listener from the Bronx, home of the Yankees, had some beautiful experiences with St. Mary. I remember going to Port Maria. I don't know. Was Aunt Vince people connected with that?
Likely, because she was a trader and things. And
I remember going to Port Maria. I don't know what the situation was, but I remember there, and I remember, did she have a store or something there?
Yes, there were people that had stores that I know, yes.
Mm-hmm. Because, and for our listeners that might not know, our loyal listener from the Bronx, home of the Yankees, happened to be my cousin, my first cousin, and he knows a lot more about the history of certain things than I do. And when I read about Port Maria, I said, you know, somewhere in my memory bank, that rings a bell, and I wasn't sure if it had to do with, you know, that part of my family tree or the other part of my family tree, my mother's part. So now the dots are coming together, or the lines are connecting to the dots. But it was unfortunate because I did not find a whole lot. Besides the Takis information, you know, about being an important part of the slaves getting their freedom, and it was a very important mission that he was on,
But there were very famous people, some famous people coming from Puerto Rico.
Okay, well, I did see that, but I didn't know who they were. It mentioned
More currently that we should really know about would be the former Archbishop of Jamaica, Catholic Archbishop, of course.
Was
Archbishop Clark. He was from St. Mary. And not so far from Highgate.
Well, they mentioned that St. Mary, although it's a small parish and a poor parish, that they produced a lot of important people who served both at home there in Jamaica and abroad. But I had no mention of who those people were. And that's why I said, I don't know if you could help me out there. So one of them is the bishop?
Yeah, Archbishop
What's
Clark.
His name?
Clark.
Bishop Clark. Well,
L-A-R-K-E.
Okay, I'll have to go search and research and see if she has done anything. What period would that be in?
Well, this the present period here. He's still alive. I see him when I go there. But he's retired, you know.
Uh-huh.
And in fact, he was a classmate of mine.
Now
I wouldn't say he was a, you know, when we go to school and you have a fella that's older than you, you say he's a big boy. I'm a little boy.
Right.
Yeah.
I remember I was telling a friend of mine over my weekend bash that I remember the family that I grew up with, which is, you know, I won't call them name, but a family of girls. I remember considered the oldest sister. We used to have to but we called her Sister Jenny. And I was surprised when I understand that she is not much older than me. And I said, what? I remember those days I said, Sister Jenny this and Sister Jenny that. And now when we were all getting old, I realized that she's not a lot older than I am. So I thought that was really funny, and I discovered that over, the birthday period.
When you connect the dots on this program, you find out a lot of things.
Yes, that's true. A lot of things are being revealed. So for our listeners who want to reveal something that another generation might find very interesting, please let us know, and we'll be happy to open up the mic and have you.
Another point of interest that I discovered not so long ago was this the Anato Bay Baptist Church, which is a real relic. It's recognized by the National Heritage Trust as a site that you might want to visit or see when you go to Jamaica.
Who was it by, the British or the Spanish? It goes back to
I would say it's almost like a Gothic structure. It's not a large church, but when you go in there, the fixtures, which are still, they're
authentic.
Yeah,
the original.
Original. You see mahogany fixtures in there, and stained glass windows there. So I would think that it might be a British construction. I don't remember. Because the Spanish used to build churches, but I don't think they build churches in the Western Hemisphere here as much as the British did.
Right.
With the Anglican, Presbyterian, and a lot of Baptist churches are all over Jamaica. One of them being in St. Mary. Of historical value, I'm talking.
Right. I just want to let our listeners know that in the Highgate, some Highgate alumni recently had their 50th anniversary in Highgate. The school is nestled in the hills of Highgate, St. Mary, and it celebrated their 50th anniversary. Sustaining the legacy was their theme. And they had people who came from all over, you know, because, as I say, St. Mary might be small and considered poor, but it had apparently a very good educational system. I don't know if it was different from other parts of the island, but there's a lot of mention about St. Mary High School. Do you know anything about why it's considered famous, Leigh?
Well, probably only because it produced people like who I'm talking about, you know, the Prime Minister, not Prime Minister, the Archbishop, and
right.
another people who actually became very wealthy landowners. There are some huge farms. I mean, the place is small comparatively, but there are some very wealthy landowners in the area there in Highgate.
Mm.
And as I say, it might be a poor parish now because it's lost its economic base, which is agriculture. But in those days, there were some wealthy farmers, you know.
Mm-hmm. Who were Jamaicans? You're talking about not farmers.
Yes, yes.
Jamaicans, I see.
Jamaicans, yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, there are several names mentioned in this article. It's a Gleaner article. And this thing was published some time ago. But one of the people involved then with planning this reunion is, I think the name is Bedford.
Bedward.
Bedward.
Bedward. Yeah, I've seen that name. And another name just popped into my mind. Another famous family there, because I can see his property in my mind. Graham, the Grahams from it's just a little outside of Highgate.
Right. There's also an unusual name here. S A M O U G E. How do you say that?
S-A-M-O-U-G, Samuj.
Uh-huh, that sounds like an Indian name, doesn't it?
Could be, yeah. As I said before,
and
a lot
Armstrong,
of Indians.
There's an Armstrong, and Johnson. All those are important people who graduated from St. Mary High School.
Okay.
It doesn't tell me what they do.
Yeah.
Actually, there's a Lieutenant Colonel Errol Johnson mentioned here.
I don't know.
And
Johnson's a fairly common name.
Yeah, Armstrong and Samgu, as I mentioned, and Bedwood. So those are all the names. But on several articles, it mentioned about how many people St. Mary High of status that St. Mary High had produced.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you think of it being considered a small poor parish, yet it had many mentions of producing people who, not only in Jamaica but in other parts of the world, have held, you know, some place of honor or importance. And I'm saying that to say I hope that children of some of our listeners or the children themselves, if they ever stumble on any of these programs, will know how people, Jamaicans in the past, have always put education, you know, at the forefront, regardless of what economic status you were in, whether you were upper class, middle class, or poor class, whatever the classes were at the time. Education was always important. And I am reading reports coming out of the country now that are saying that the percentage of people or children, young people, that are not going to school is higher now than it was before they were independent. And one of the reasons is that the parents are not putting the importance on education like they used to. You know, in the old days.
Well, you know, the more I think of it, what you just said, the fact that education was the strong point, the mainstay of the growth of Jamaica. When we Jamaicans became independent, it was a very smooth transition, and Jamaicans went into high positions very easily compared to other countries that got independence in the British Empire.
Mm-hmm.
So, and only because they were capable, due to the fact that they were at a high level of education.
Right.
So, I mean, now I think it's not easy to say, but I think the island is regressing because of this fact that the people are not interested, and the parents and families are not interested in education the way our generation placed an importance on education.
Right, and so. I don't care what part of the world you are, the future lie with the children, of course, the young people, and it's the ones that get educated and know the importance of knowledge that are going to rule the world and are going to be able to survive and make, you know, something of themselves. So I am just hoping that more people will become aware of the fact that the Jamaican culture now is sort of slipping into a area that can be quite bad or dangerous for the future of the country and future of the world. You know, we're so connected now that, you know, one place affects another place. So people, adults need to be more involved in trying in whatever way they can, whether it's contributing to an educational fund for the inner city or doing something for one child or one person. Even in encouraging them to put that as the most important thing for their children, for the children's future and the future of the culture and the country. So this is not a show where we get political or, you know, things like that. But I think that, you know, we all need to be aware of what's going on in terms of the way it is now and the way it used to be. Because I found that very interesting as I go through, you know, the history of the different parishes as we're doing now, or even the island as a whole. I am just so thrilled at the fact to know that way back from, in, you know, 17-something and 18-something, that's what people were focused on, whether they were black or white, and especially black ones. They were going to school, traveling on ships, going to Howard, going to different parts of the world, you know, getting their degrees when things were not easy. It was not easy. It's not easy now. You can imagine what it was in those days for families to come up with the funds. I mean, there wasn't anything free. And families were making sacrifices to do what they needed to do for the future of their families, their children, and their country, and their culture. So it was important then, and it's more important now. So, you know, I get very passionate about that, of course. And when I read about parents who would rather get their hair done or their nails done than give their children lunch money, because there was sort of a research done as to why the illiteracy has increased in certain parts of the island. And that's what they found, that the focus was not on getting the children educated. It was on material things that people can really do without, and I'm sure that a lot of the families, regardless of what economic class they were in the old days, because this goes way back, always had to make a sacrifice, you know, to get their children educated. And it shouldn't be any different now. Because in those days, they couldn't depend on the government. We didn't even have free stuff in those days. At least now, there are some things that are free. Am I correct? I left before it became free, so I don't even know.
Well, what's happening now, the kids are, they see easy money in playing basketball or even football. They're getting contracts to clubs in the UK, and they are saying to themselves, probably, why should I go to school if I can excel in sports?
Mm-hmm.
And on the subculture, you have the drug thing that influenced by the location of Jamaica. You have the drug people passing through on speedboats, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a big culture on that. So, look, I am glad for, and I'll say it again, that if I had to do my childhood again, it would be exactly the same way. And I appreciate that I was born there and I was educated. You know, for the most part, I was educated there and as a base. And I have a lot to be grateful. It's just too bad that, the legacy has not been, or some deterioration is taking place. So.
Right. Well, I just hope that we'll all start thinking positive, and if we can do anything, whatever we can do in our own little way, you know, we need to start focusing on that, whether it's encouraging a child or helping a parent or, you know, planting a seed in somebody about, you know, carrying on this legacy of a proud nation that, we are well educated, we are ambitious, and we have a lot to contribute. We have contributed a lot over centuries, not just recent, not just what we know, but a lot that I have discovered through the research I've been doing that has been really helped by, I want to mention again, Dr. Joy Lumsden, because she has uncovered some things that, you know, I have done on the different shows that were really mind-boggling, that we had Jamaicans born and raised in Jamaica that were all over the world doing things. You know, Leigh, when I thought about when we did Kingston, and I don't know if I mentioned it because there's always so much to cover. This St. Mary don't really have a lot, but I know there's still a lot about Kingston that I didn't talk about. Still a lot about, you know, Portland that I didn't talk about. You can just do so much in an hour and a couple of minutes. However, one of the things that stand out in my mind is that during that earthquake, there was a group of six women, I think, and about less men, perhaps five men or whatever. There was a group of Jamaicans performing all over London when the earthquake was going on in Kingston. So they talked that, you know, they left prosperous and came back paupers. But they happened to be touring London giving concerts. Did I mention that? Did you hear that?
Yeah.
And Dr. Lumsden has pictures of them on her website. So it's just, you know, and this was 1907?
1908.
1908. You can imagine, though, those women and those men traveling on those boats to go all the way to London from Jamaica to go perform. And it was a choral group. They were singing. And they were well-dressed and well-received at different places, you know. So, and that is just in one artistic thing. But there were several other things going on simultaneously. Also, there are several stories of Jamaican-born and raised people who got educated in England or America and went to other countries, even went to Africa to do things in 1840s and 17, all that. So we have a lot to be proud about. We have a lot to celebrate, and I've got a lot to learn. So I want to thank all our listeners that have joined us tonight. I hope that you've enjoyed the show. Leah, as usual, I want to thank you for being so supportive and so knowledgeable.
Well,
and
I hope it continues. The old brain is getting taxed by your show.
Look at the wonderful memories that it's triggering, right?
Yeah, it does.
So it's good for us. You know, once we get to be our age, it's good to wake up the memory cells. Because you know what they say, what we don't use, we lose. So the show is good for people. And for those of you who just might be listening and thinking, we hope that it has triggered something in your mind. Beg your pardon?
I just said to those who you just exhorted to join us next time.
Right, join us each week. And not only that, tell your friends. And if you're not on our email list, I'm assuming that you possibly got an email about the show, and that's why you're calling in. But how about bringing some friends with you next time? And also sending your link to a friend, or you might ask them if you can add their name to our email list so we'll be able to tell them about the show. Because we'd like people, we're fortunate tonight to have Leah from the Bronx, home of the Yankees, to join us with some information about actually being in St. Mary. And I would really love to have someone on from each parish.
What's your next parish?
Beg your pardon?
What's your next parish?
Water joins St. Mary.
St. Anne's?
St. Anne's. Well, it will either be St. Anne or where is St. Elizabeth? I want to do St.
St. Elizabeth is on the south coast. So if
okay.
You do it clockwise, you have a good while for St. Elizabeth. We're in the parish of Middlesex. And by the way, I mean, when the British took over Jamaica, that's how come we have these different counties to match the counties in England. You know, England has the same counties.
Oh, really? No, that's something I didn't know.
Cornwall, Middlesex, and Surrey, yeah.
Ah, Cornwall, Middlesex, and Surrey.
Yeah.
That's the way it is in England?
Yep.
Oh. Wow, that's interesting.
They cut it up the same way.
Ah.
But on the other hand, a lot of the parishes maintained the Spanish names that way, especially on the North Coast, Spanish names that were assigned by the Spaniards when they had the island.
Right, I got you. Anyway, you know, whatever parish we're going to do next week, it's going to be interesting because every parish, as I just scan through them, every parish has something unique and interesting that you know, I never knew about before, and I hope that some of our listeners are learning something new about these various parishes. Because, Leah, did you know that the dance hall style dancing started in St. Mary?
No, not really.
Right, and that most of the reigning stars, whatever they call themselves, are from St. Mary. They had several names here of the people who are known for that.
What I know is when I went to hotels that were close to St. Mary, you had a lot of the mental bands, what's left
mm-hmm.
of them.
Because
playing.
They still apparently play that in the rural parts of St. Mary. They still do, they talk about the quadrille and the mento and the things where I suppose there are groups that still do that.
Yeah, because
that kind of music is still possibly popular, not necessarily when people are performing, but, you know, when people are just...
In the small towns, when they get together at the square, they still play the banjo along with the guitar, yeah.
Right, and especially because there's not a lot of tourist trade there, and it's I think it's a lot more rural and rustic, and perhaps the tradition of doing certain styles of things are passed down. Because they don't get exposed to a lot of other things, I suppose, you know. So
that too, and it was only in recent times that they got communications like telephone.
Oh,
you know,
really?
The cellular people went into that to St. Mary and set up. I wouldn't say headquarters, but an outlet where a lot of people in, this is, we're talking recent times now, like in the early 1990s, cellular phones in St. Mary. I read that on.
You know, the service or the actual place
well,
where they operate?
The service, because they were lacking in communication.
Oh, I got you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, they have a couple of websites up now about St. Mary and what they do. A lot of them are advertising, you know, but
yeah,
some of them
true.
Have information.
Yeah.
St. Mary itself, you know, I suppose students or whoever put the websites up. But, you know, like everything else on the Internet, you can find a lot of information. Some of it is not necessarily authentic. Some of it is people's ideas and things like that. But, as I say, there was not a lot of information, on even on Wikipedia, about St. Mary, except that it was small and poor. So is on researching other things that I found out about the high school being, you know, one of the better high
schools. I may get in touch with that library place in that the way they portray the poorness of the place may not be all that accurate initially. I mean, in the earlier times, because, as I say, there were a lot of very wealthy
farmers. Mm-hmm.
Farmers there.
Yeah,
you know, and
perhaps they might have migrated, or perhaps they're still there. I don't know.
Well, I agree with the fact that it would be the location would be very poor now, because nobody supports agriculture in the same way as they did in the past, and all of those products, they had all of the breadfruit and the bananas and that they can handle, you know.
Right.
And the one thing you didn't see there conspicuously was mangoes. Whereas
might be because of the sale. I don't know.
Probably.
Yeah, because of the limestone and the other kind of rock.
Yeah,
it wasn't
conducive to
manga, especially what we would call, what we used to call the East Indian and St. Julian.
Those were special to mangoes.
Common mango,
so
that is the...
You didn't see those too much in the country anyway. You saw black mangoes, you saw robin and hiri in the country,
right.
You know.
Number 11.
Some number 11 as well, but
right.
the specialty mangoes that you're talking about, you didn't see too much of that in the country.
Right. Well, what I want to throw something out to our listeners, because it's been bothering me. Have you heard of a mango called Ladyfinger?
I've heard of Ladyfinger, but it's not a mango.
It is a mango. Well, it's a mango I know from Jamaica. It used to be in Kingston. Now, on my father's side, they had a mango walk up in Mountain View. No, is it Mountain View? No, yeah, I think it's Mountain View. It's called. I can't remember. But anyhow, it would be like an East Indian, but it's smaller. It's smaller than East Indian, but it had that shape, and it was sort of flat like a hand.
Wow.
And they had rows and rows of it. You know, all of those properties got, all the vegetation got cut down, and they're all built up now, you know, as houses.
Yeah.
But Kingston have lost a lot of its original fruits that it had. It had a lot of different kind of fruits growing in people's yards. But they had a mango walk. I remember there was a little stream running through it, and I could walk from one place and go over to another street, which I think was Mountain View Avenue. I can't remember much now. But anyway, I wondered if any other listener ever heard of the Ladyfinger mango. It's a mango. And I don't know if it was just Kingston that it was grown, or there was any other part of the country. Because, you know, sometimes there's more of one kind of mangoes at one part of the island than the other. And now that I'm doing all this research, I find out that it could be the soil, that where one mango will grow better or taste sweeter or something because of the combination of the soil. Just like we discovered about the mineral bath. When, you know, I told you that whatever year it was that they did research testing on the water that comes out of the rock at Bath itself, and that it's so unique. It had all these different properties in it, you know, in the different kind of mineral in that water that was not found any other part of the island or any other part of the world. This combination and how and the temperature that it gets to was unique. There was something that we found out about, it was in Portland or St. Thomas, where it's the only river on the island that run in the opposite direction, eastward or whatever word, remember that?
Yeah.
I mean, we're just finding out all these unique things about these different parishes. And I hope that our listeners are just as tickled as I am, but I am just having a ball finding out all these things. So it's almost time for us to go. I want to thank our listeners for joining the Labyrinth. I know you've just been listening, but we hope you enjoyed it. And next time we hope you'll join us and tell us who you are and let us know how we're doing. We need you to rate us. So also, if you ever go online to listen to the show, I want to tell you that all the shows are archived. So if you click on the link that you get in your email, you can listen to any one of the shows that you'd like to hear anything about. You know, whatever we discussed in the past, they're all there and you can just click on them. You can also let Blog Talk Radio know that Backyard Labyrinth is one of your favorite shows. There's a button there that you can click on to let them know that we've been marked a favorite, because that gives us some brownie points. So, again, thank you for listening, and it's almost time for us to go, Lay.
Okay.
So we say goodnight for listening.
Goodbye from the Bronx.
And goodnight from Atlanta, Georgia. And we hope you enjoyed your visit with us. So to our listeners online and our listeners listening on their computers, we thank you for joining us, and we hope to see you again next week. And we are going to be discussing another interesting parish. And we hope that you probably will be from that parish, or even if you're not, you might know someone who is from that parish, and you'll ask them to join you online with us. So good night, and have a great week. Thank you for listening. Bye.